Two things you probably know about me by now whenever I speak is I pick an unusual subject, and quite often happens to have math in it. I love math. You all know that. My thought today starts out with, how often do you think about water? All its many forms. Ice, liquid, gaseous, rivers, lakes, ponds, oceans, and our ever-living present knowledge of one form of it in the New England area, snow. Commonly known as H2O. It's common all over the earth, and it's the same all over the earth. A gallon of water weighs 8.4 pounds per gallon. There's 128 ounces in a gallon. The first major thing that comes to mind is the weight of water when the earth was created. The volume of water that must have been when the earth was created. Next major thing that comes to mind is the Great Flood. Again, happens to be something, even with my love of math, I'm not even going to try to calculate. All of the great height of the water, subtracting all of the height and mass of the ground that was there, ain't no way I'm going to even be able to guess. It would take probably weeks for me to do any of the research to calculate that knowledge. Next is the crossing of the Red Sea. Again, we know there was a large amount of water separated. The earth was dry. They crossed over. It doesn't tell us how many days. It doesn't tell us, in fact, any of the variables about the crossing of the sea, other than it closed on to the Egyptians as they tried to go through. So once again, there's no way I can calculate the amount of water that was pushed back by the Red Sea, or at the Red Sea. Next thought that comes to me is the wilderness wanderings and the people complaining about the water and not having water. I'm going to assume we're at the year 20 point in the 40 years of the wandering. I'm estimating at least 4 million people by now, anywhere from 2 to 3 million estimated leaving Egypt. So just the people drinking water would be 4 million gallons a day, not counting all of the animals. I went on the internet just to see an ox drinks about 25 to 40 gallons of water a day. A cow, especially lactating, drinks 30 to 50 gallons of water a day. Calf needs 15 gallons a day. Adult sheep and goats need about 2 gallons a day. Adult donkey I'm already losing my voice, so sorry, bear with me. An adult donkey, about 10 to 15 gallons of water a day. And possibly more for all of them, since they were in the desert. I'm going to look at least 6 million gallons of water a day, just for the people. Then if you add up for multiple thousands, possibly millions of cows, the calves, the, and part of this is looking at the fact of the millions of cows that there might have been, because my grandfather had 10 cows. He had probably 7 that were feeding the calves. He had 3 that were non-lactating, and the 1 he would butcher, 1 he would have for and keep for butchering the next year if time was lean, and 1 to sell if he needed. So on the calves, an estimate 2 million for the sheep. Again, I would think of at least 2 million because of all the sacrifices that they had to make. So there were extremely large amount of sheep. Again, for milking, there are probably multiple millions of goats. I would say probably at least 50,000 adult donkeys were pulling all the carts that they had filled with all the booty that they got from Egypt. I'm not going to go through what I expected each group to drink, even though I haven't. So I'm going to round it to 95 million gallons of water a day for all of the people, all the animals, and that doesn't count how much was needed for cooking. That doesn't count how much was needed for cleansing, for the before the sacrifices were made, for cleaning after when the sacrifices were made. And to be honest, I know there is, we have no exact number of people or gallons of water. These are all estimates on my account. But you get the idea of what I'm trying to get across about the amount of water flowing from the rock in a day. And we don't know whether it stopped flowing during the night, and so all of this was flowing through the day, making a massive river for providing for the people and for the animals. For talking about humans, the average is about, you take your weight, divide it in half, and that's the amount of ounces that you need of water each day. For me, I'm 230 pounds, so that's 115 ounces a day. Okay, let's just round it to a gallon. 128 ounces. That's why I put the 4 million gallons for the people. To be honest, I don't even come close to drinking a gallon of water a day. If I did, I would be in a lot of trouble. We only have one bathroom in our house. So let's forward, if you will, with me to Romans chapter 4. I'm sorry, it's John chapter 4. I'm thinking ahead. That's a problem when I type. I get so typing such that I'm thinking so fast ahead that I start mixing words as I type. So I apologize. John chapter 4, verse 7 through 15. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans?" And Jesus said, answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and as well as his sons and all of his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst and nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go and call your husband." And again, I'm going beyond. But Jesus knows that the man she is with is not her husband. A couple of pages over, John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. We know this one well. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Without water, and more specifically without food, the average person will die in 3 days. How often do we go 3 days without reading the Word of God? Rightly so, that we always refer to Christ as the bread of life. But after the scriptures that we've just read, couldn't we also call Him the water of life? I looked in a concordance and I stopped counting after 100 applications of the word water. And I'm sorry, no, I did not read all 100 applications. But there was a massive number of applications of the word water. In Psalm 23, David says, "He leads me by still waters." Sheep don't like fast running water. They like calm, quiet water. A calm pool of fresh water provides them with a place to drink without fear. Do we have a place to go to so that we may drink of the refreshing water of God's Word? Do we have a place that we can go? And as always, when you think you've got plenty of information, it doesn't always go like you think. So the sermon this morning may be a little bit shorter than normal. So in face of that, please forgive me. There's another body of water I'd like to speak about. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21. Who formerly were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype, which now saves us, namely baptism. Not the removal of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The body of water that is most important to mankind today is the water of baptism. And there are a lot of places and ways to be baptized in the river, in a baptistry like we have here, in a pool, swimming pool like a friend of ours had in Texas. So what the water is doesn't matter. It's the fact of what is happening because of the water. The water of baptism be it whatever is available is the only way to have our sins washed away. The ESV speaks of our sins being forgiven. So it's the only way to take and change from the way of living in darkness to being able to live in the light. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Again, we notice that It's the only way to have our sins forgiven. Let's go to Acts chapter 22. Verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Again, emphasizing the ability to wash away our sins in baptism. We go down into the water, a person full of sins. Like for you to, each of you to think back to the day that you were baptized and the reason you were coming forward to take and be baptized, the things you learned, and why it convinced you to be baptized, to take and look at your life full of sin and what baptism offered you. And it offered to every one of us the ability to walk in newness of life. Romans 6. Verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of you were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death, then we were buried with Him through baptism into His death, that we might, as Christ, be raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. So by committing to being baptized, we all realize that we were living a life of sin. We all realize that we had to die with Christ, as we were taught, and to be raised from the waters of baptism, a new person, a new life, one pure and separated from the life of sin. Galatians 3, 27 and 28. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Therefore there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So one of the things that, as we went into the water and came up, we could no longer discriminate against anyone about sharing the gospel with them, because we were all one, we became one with Christ, and all those that had obeyed Christ, we are all one. And as we take and teach someone the truth, they too become one with Christ and one with us. Romans chapter 6, 9 through 13. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, to die no more, death no longer having dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but to alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey the lust thereof. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God, being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. As we came out of the water of baptism, we no longer were slaves of sin, but we came forward out of the water to take and walk and be a slave of righteousness in Christ. Colossians chapter 1, 10 through 14. I'm going to start in verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glory and His power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of the darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Again, as we have come up out of the waters of baptism, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of Christ. And we are His body here that have obeyed from the heart that which we've been delivered to us. And I don't really know how long I've been up here. I didn't even look when I started. But just a few more thoughts, and the lesson will be yours. Does the nourishing water of God's Word become a fountain of water springing up in us? Do we think about that? Do we look and meditate on the fact that His Word is supposed to be a living water springing up in us? Do we use our being refreshed by the Word of God to draw those around us that are starving for the only source of peaceful refreshing, the Christ. Christ knew that we would not only be hungry for the Word, but we would also thirst after the refreshing that comes through His Word, that would tell all men of His life, His death, and the power of eternal life through His resurrection. If you fully understand what I've talked about today and wish to be baptized into Christ, come forward and make your wishes known and make your confession before witnesses that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you don't quite understand what I've said, or if you would like more meaning brought to what I've said, come forward and study, or come forward and make your wants known, and we would be more than ready and gladly study and present the process of eternal life to you. Please come as we stand.